He's a unionist through and through. That was Nigel Dodds' assessment of Boris Johnson just 2 days ago. The Prime Minister was given a hero's welcome at a DUP drinks reception at the Tory party conference. Nigel Dodds went on to tell the newsletter that Boris Johnson had sent out a very strong message of solidarity in terms of the unionist position across the UK. But yesterday, that love-in, it came to an abrupt end. Some people are saying Boris Johnson has shafted the DUP. How are they going to fight back? And what happens next? The Conservative MP, Sir Peter Bottomley, joining us this morning. A betrayal of unionism in Northern Ireland, Peter, is how some senior commentators are describing it to me.
Well, that maybe, I'm sure that's what they're saying to you. I think the first thing to remember is that the key point about unionism is it stands with Great Britain, the United Kingdom. So I think that it's very difficult for one part to betray another part. And the second thought is that if the DUP, which represents a significant minority of the people of Northern Ireland, had been careful, it would have backed the previous Prime Minister's deal, and we wouldn't be coming to this discussion now.
But you say that it is very difficult for one part of the UK to betray another. We are relying on the Prime Minister's word when he told us that he would never do this. He would never put a regulatory border down the RAC. I'll remind you what he said, not in some far outpost somewhere in the world. He flew into Northern Ireland, and here's what he promised his partners, the very people who had propped him up in government. Here's what he promised his partners, the DUP, in a DUP party conference.
And we will be damaging the fabric of the union with regulatory checks and even customs controls between Great Britain and Northern Ireland, on top of those extra regulatory checks down the Irish Sea that are already envisaged in the withdrawal agreement. Now, I have to tell you, no British Conservative government could or should sign up to any such arrangement.
You know, it's there in black and white. Those are his words, Peter, and he's betrayed the unionists who trusted him.
Well, I think the first thing to do is that you need to get the Prime Minister onto the programme, and he can explain what he means now and what he meant then. I think I would go back a stage to say that your older listeners may remember when I was Minister for Agriculture in Northern Ireland, when we had checks across the Irish Sea between Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and actually Northern Ireland and the whole of Ireland, on animal health status. There have been differences. What's being arranged now is trying to make sure that Northern Ireland is treated as part of the United Kingdom, but also recognises the realities of sharing the island with the Republic of Ireland, which is part of the EU 27. But I think all the time, every two or three minutes, if I may, depending how long you let me go on speaking, I want to say that the Democratic Unionists, who I respect, represent a minority in Northern Ireland. Their view on the EU is a minority in Northern Ireland. And I think we always need to keep that into account. I can have an interesting discussion about angels, not that the DUP can be accused of not being angels, but also remember that if they were given a free vote, I guess that over half of their representation in Westminster would vote for the deal, because the alternative is no deal. No deal would lead to a border poll. And a border poll, even if people weren't excited about uniting Ireland, would younger people in Northern Ireland would want to be part of the EU and have all the freedoms of that. So I think they should be looking to see what is in the long-term interest of their view of unionism, and I'll do the same.
Do you think Northern Ireland's place in the UK is under threat because of Brexit?
No, it's under threat if the DUP manage to contribute to conditions where we crash out unnecessarily. Because the crashing out unnecessarily puts more strain on the situation in Northern Ireland, puts more strain on the coming to terms with history, which is what the process and progress has been over the last 30 years. And I think that they ought to be looking to the long-term interests of Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom.
So, Goods, you're a unionist, Peter Bottomley. You're part of the Conservative and Unionist Party. When unionists are waking up this morning and they're learning that if this deal goes through tomorrow, goods travelling from Great Britain to Northern Ireland for onward sale to the EU would need to conform with EU customs. So that's essentially a customs border in the RAC. We also learn that there will be a different label created. It'll be called UKNI. That's the regulatory border in the RAC. If the EU change their VAT rate, our current UK VAT rate is 20%. If the VAT rate changes, our VAT rate in Northern Ireland will not be aligned with the rest of the UK. It will be aligned with a foreign country. And are you telling me this deal does not bring us closer to a united Ireland?
I've explained that my view is that if we get, well, I'm going to explain now as carefully as I can, that if we have this deal and we come to proper arrangements with the EU27, which includes the Republic of Ireland, that makes it less likely that we'll have the conditions for a border pearl and less likely that the majority of people in Northern Ireland might in the future vote to reunite Ireland because they want to stay within the EU system. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying rather the reverse of yours. We're approaching it from different premises.
I guess it's also about trust. A senior source within the DUP has told me within the last 24 hours, when the VAT issue was raised by the DUP to the Prime Minister, he said to them, there is no effing way he will tolerate it. Those were his words, according to this senior DUP source. And 24 hours later, he did it.
Well, I, if you don't mind me saying so, I was brought up not to rely on hearsay or even double hearsay, so that may be so. But again, the Prime Minister is the person who can answer those sort of questions. I wasn't in the room. I wasn't part of that conversation. I come rather more from the Ulster Unionist tradition rather than the Democratic Unionist tradition. And I think that if I go back to those of my family who've been MPs in Northern Ireland or even Prime Minister in Northern Ireland, those who've been chosen by a militia of men of mixed religion during the troubled times of the 1790s, that we need to learn to work together. And on every opportunity I have had, and every one that's left me in the rest of my life, which I hope will be long, I shall go on saying, how can you have arrangements which will satisfy a double majority, a majority of those who think of themselves as Irish and a majority of those who think of themselves as British? And I think that this is a better way of doing it than the alternative of either dropping out or trying to reverse the results of the referendum.
How do you
should say, what's better than the alternative?
How do you think the Prime Minister is going to get this deal through tomorrow?
Well, my guess is, and my hope is, that you'll have 20 or so Labour MPs who are MPs for a deal, if he can provide satisfaction on workers' conditions and rights, that he'll get probably three-quarters of the ERG people and three-quarters of the 21 who sadly had the whip withdrawn when they voted in the way they thought was right. And I think that will get him over the line. Anyone who thinks that the vote on Saturday, tomorrow, is going to be the end of everything is wrong. There could be all sorts of problems with bills and amendments, but that's the future. The key point now is, are we going to go for no deal, crashing out, which is, and even the DUP supporters in business and agriculture in Northern Ireland would tell them, for heaven's sake, don't do that. Or we might be forced into reversing Article 50, in effect saying we aren't going to leave, or having another referendum on one thing or another. I think the better alternative to all of those is to vote for the Prime Minister's proposal tomorrow.
Sir Peter Bottomley, thank you. Former Communications Director for the Labour Party, Alistair Campbell, joining us this morning. Is this a good day for Northern Ireland, Alistair? Able to trade tariff-free into any trade deals that the UK does? Able to be part of those big new deals, those exciting new deals, and able to trade into the EU?
Well, first of all, on the so-called exciting new deals, the government's own analysis has been very, very clear that even if you get the best trade, free trade deals going, which they won't and they'll take years to do anyway, you stand to gain a fraction of what we're going to lose by sacrificing the free trade agreements and the trading arrangements we have with the EU right now. That's the first thing. And also, I mean, I think it was embarrassing listening to that. You played a clip of the Prime Minister just a few short weeks ago at the DUP conference, making an absolute...
It was last year.
...promise. Okay, a cast-iron promise to what he would envisage when he was, if you like, undermining Theresa May, which was his prime objective at that time. And now, here we are, he's got the top job, and he is literally throwing the DUP under a bus. And I just don't understand how Tory MPs, who, as you rightly say, they represent the Conservative and Unionist Party, I don't honestly see how they can stand up and say that this is anything other than a threat to the Union of the United Kingdom. What has been the red line of the Unionists, of the DUP and indeed one of the red lines of the government through this whole process, that there can be no separation of Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK. Well, that's happening. And that's what Parliament is being told to vote for.
And yet have a listen to Conor Murphy from Sinn Féin, because you must be delighted with this deal, Mr. Murphy. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Are you delighted?
No, I would be
You're backing it.
If we had remained in Europe, I would have been delighted. But we have been taken out against our own democratic consent.
So do you think that fight's over? Are we gone? No chance of another referendum?
Well, that remains to be seen. That's a very much a matter for our British government to call. But the reality is any deal which we would get was only a matter of mitigating the effects of Brexit. And clearly, having a deal is better than having no deal, which would have been catastrophic for this island, for our economic interests and social interests on the island. So in that sense, we do welcome a deal. It's better than no deal. But we recognise that we will still have problems from Brexit, a Brexit which wasn't of our choosing, which is actually foisted upon us against our democratic wishes.
I'm just interested in an understanding of a fundamental basic, but before we move on, which is in Sinn Féin now backing this deal, which is what your party is doing, have you now, because you could have chosen not to back it and continue to campaign and urge MPs who do take their seats in Westminster to try to stop Boris Johnson and call for another referendum. Now, is Sinn Féin in backing this deal giving up any chance of Brexit not happening at all?
No, but that's going to be a matter for the British people. Because
but what's Sinn Féin's position on it?
Well, they're the people in control of this issue. To be quite honest, we see a much faster route back into Europe for ourselves through a unity referendum here in Ireland.
When?
That's the ultimate way of getting back
into Europe. It's going to be a faster route into... When do you expect unity?
Well, the unity referendum is at the gift of a British Secretary of State. There already is evidence that people here, on the consequence of leaving the European Union, a majority of people would consider voting for reunification. So there's evidence there for British Secretary of State, should they wish to do that at any time now in the future. And so we, of course, see that as the best way back for the people of Ireland. That removes us from the Brexit equation. The British people are free, of course, to do what they wish in terms of their own relationship with Europe. We have always argued against ourselves here being collateral damage in the outcome of that decision. And we will continue to be collateral damage in the outcome of that decision, even with a deal that has been struck yesterday.
Sir Campbell?
I mean, what I think you're seeing here is the real threat to the United Kingdom in actually happening in two different places now. I've spent part of this week, we've got the People's Vote rally tomorrow. I think that actually this deal strengthens the case for a referendum, because it is not remotely near anything that was promised back in 2016. And look, I understand Sinn Féin have got a very, very clear objective about what their long-term objective is, and they probably see in this an opportunity to pursue that objective. Just as the SNP in Scotland, who have an objective for independence in Scotland, they probably see that this is going to potentially put booster rockets under the campaign for independence there. Because essentially what you're doing now, you have a Conservative and Unionist party in all but name. It is effectively an English nationalist party now that is pursuing, for its own political reasons, and this whole mess has been created by the Conservative Party and its own divisions. Johnson is pursued by a determination to destroy the Brexit Party, because that's what he's scared of. Now, we have a situation now where this deal, which is being put to MPs tomorrow, it bears literally next to no relation to what was promised. The Brexit that was promised in 2016 has vanished, never to return. This Brexit doesn't do it. And you're now talking about a government wanting to rush through in a few hours' debate something that's going to have massive ramifications for our economy, for the union, for our politics, for our democracy. And, you know, any MP, in my view, who rushes this through tomorrow, I think will live to rue the day. And particularly, may I say, those MPs on the progressive side of politics and Labour MPs, they should look carefully at the reason why people like Rees-Mogg and Steve Baker and Marc Francois and that lot are smiling.
Okay.
They are smiling because they know that what this does is it hives off Northern Ireland, and then for the rest of Britain we have the hardest possible Brexit, and no deal actually is not taken off the table, it's simply delayed.
Alistair Campbell, thank you very much indeed. Conor Murphy, a point to you this morning. Because you are backing, Sinn Féin's position is that you're backing this deal. And I hear you when you say that you would prefer to remain, but on balance, given what's in front of you, you're backing this deal. Now, there's a fundamental part of this deal which I'm trying very hard to understand how Sinn Féin is backing the deal with this component that I'm about to bring up, okay? And I'll spell it out to you. So what's going to happen here, Conor, is that if this deal goes through, there will be no local vote in Northern Ireland on opting into it. So the British government will have put you into Northern Ireland being automatically aligned to the EU single market and customs rules once this deal is implemented. And then every 4 years, there will be a majority vote to decide whether it continues or not. Now, Conor Murphy, how has Sinn Féin agreed to a deal which means Sinn Féin have had no say in a game-changing rules to Northern Ireland? And how does that square with the Good Friday Agreement? Forget about the DUP. This is being imposed on the nationalist community. This is being imposed on Sinn Féin. And it's a bigger principle as to whether you like it or not. The point is, it's there and you lot don't get any say on it for the first 4 years. How have you agreed to that?
Well, the people of the North voted to remain fully within the European Union. And any opinion poll that has been taken since has showed that the majority of people backed the backstop agreement, which we supported in the Dáil when it passed through there, and that people wanted arrangements which mitigated against the damage that Brexit was going to do. So there's a clear majority, and it's nothing to do with nationalism or unionism. There's been a clear majority in the North for Remain, for arrangements which offset the damage that Brexit is going to do to us. So therefore, there is, and I dare say, if an option had been put in terms of a referendum here in the North to support this arrangement, even with all of its uncertainties and the difficulties that it presents, I dare say there would be a majority in favour of that.
My question is a bigger question than that. You're now setting the precedent, surely, and Sinn Féin is setting the precedent, that you will accept rules from Westminster, game-changing rules from Westminster, without Sinn Féin having any say. Forget about the fact that it's about Brexit for a moment. The British government is saying we're changing the rules on Northern Ireland, EU single market and customs rules. We're changing those rules in Northern Ireland, and Sinn Féin, you're having no say in it for the first 4 years. You haven't been consulted. It's being imposed upon you. So if they can do this about Brexit, they can do this about anything else, surely.
We have been consulted, and we have been working very closely.
By the British government?
We've been working very closely. We don't see our interests being represented this by the British government. They haven't been, nor will they be. And they don't represent the interests of the majority here in the North.
But this is a British government deal.
We've been working very closely with the Irish government. We've been working very closely with the European Union, and our voice has been heard very loud and clear in those circles. We've also been lobbying very strongly in Washington in relation to all of this. And this is a reserve matter. So it's not a matter which the Assembly would be dealing with. This is a matter which the British government have kept. It's an agreement between the British government and the EU27. Our longer-term objective is to get us out of this entire arrangement and get us back fully into Europe, and that's something we will continue to pursue. But this is an arrangement which we have had consultation in, we have had influence over. It doesn't represent the optimum outcome for anyone here in the North, because we voted to remain against our consent, against the principle of our consent. We're being taken out of Europe. That's something that the British government didn't give us a say in either, because they ignored the vote that we had. But we needed to craft some arrangements which protect as best they can arrangements on the island, and that this deal has gone some way to do that.
So look upon this, Conor, because a mature party will look at the other side and people from within the other community. Can you explain to the unionist community how you think it is fair to them that in 4 years' time, if this deal is implemented, if their political representatives representing unionism are against this EU single market alignment and the customs rules being aligned to the EU, can you explain to them how the votes of the unionist community will not matter because we would be going down to a majority vote? So there's no cross-community need for this to continue in Northern Ireland. Reach out to the unionist community and tell them how that's fair.
Well, there are a couple of points there. Firstly, the unionist community in its entirety did not vote for Brexit. As a matter of fact, a substantial number of the unionist community voted to remain. Their vote has been disregarded not only by the British government, but by the majority party within unionism have disregarded their vote, disregarded their opinions, not listened to business, not listened to agri-foods, not listened to huge sectors of our economy here. They've disregarded all of their views, all of their protestations in relation to these matters.
But now you want to disregard unionist opinion.
Well, again, Stephen, you're conflating unionist opinion with the DUP's view. And what I'm saying to you is that there are many unionists who voted to remain. Who
the Ulster Unionist Party are against this deal to the extent that the only candidate so far running for leader is saying he will be a remainer if this deal goes through.
Yeah, so there, within Ulster Unionism, there are obviously clearly different views. But certainly the majority that voted to remain contained unionists, nationalists, Republicans, others, and many people from across society, and their views have been disregarded in an anti-democratic way by the DUP and by the British government. And so on to the question of the Assembly and Assembly votes, the consent principle in the Assembly is around the reunification referendum, and that requires a simple majority. There are certain votes on the Assembly rules that require cross-community consent in relation to Assembly procedures such as budgets, election speakers, appointment of ministers. They require cross-community votes. The DUP have abused the petition and concern mechanism to bring in a whole raft of other things of their interest to apply what effectively was their own veto in relation to those votes. So there is no requirement for arrangements which are reserved to have a cross-community vote.
So we can't get out of this without you.
Sorry, the DUP's late conversion to the principles of the Good Friday Agreement is interesting, and I hope they follow the logic of that through and embrace genuine power sharing. But the reality is they're misrepresenting the principles.
And just to, because your people are saying you have to go, Conor, so just very, very briefly indeed, am I right in saying that if Boris Johnson's deal goes through, we cannot get out of this without the consent of Sinn Féin because it's a majority vote, correct?
No, you can't get out of it without the consent of the majority.
Yes.
The majority
and if you think about the majority in Northern Ireland as it currently stands, Sinn Féin, a Remain party, the Ulster Unionist Party, the Alliance Party would probably hold the balance, wouldn't they?
It requires that broad section of community who clearly demonstrated that they want to remain, who have demonstrated time and time again that they want arrangements put in place which offset the damage that Brexit, which the DUP is going to foist on us against our wishes, that they offset the damage in relation to that. And that isn't the Sinn Féin
position. And this is my final...
majority view across the north of Ireland.
And this is my final question. I know you need to go. Final question. So you've been very clear that if we had have left the EU without a deal, Sinn Féin was asking for a border poll the very next day. If Boris Johnson's deal does go through, when do you think would be a good time for a border poll?
Well, as soon as possible, because undoubtedly...
Well, is it the next day, or is that go down the more of a long finger?
We continuously engage with the British government in relation to the requirements around a border poll, conditions in which a British Secretary of State will consider the test for having such a poll been met. That is a continuous topic in terms of our engagement with the British government. And we will continue to press that case because while this deal undoes some of the damage that Brexit will bring, it certainly doesn't save us from all of the damage that Brexit is going to bring us against our wishes.
Okay.
And so the ultimate way of coming back into the European Union, which is the view of the majority here in the North, is through a unity referendum.
Conor Murphy, thank you very much indeed. Glenn in Portadown. Morning, Glenn.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Is Conor Murphy still there?
No, he had to go. To be fair, he was on for 20-odd minutes.
Right. Stephen, I'm a DUP voter. I've been a DUP voter all my life.
Okay? Do you think you've just been shafted?
I'm not happy about it, to be honest. I'm not happy about it. But one thing that was coming on to say to Conor Murphy, I know Conor Murphy's an Irish Republican. And that's fair enough, that's up to him. But does Conor realise that in the EU are going to dilute the sovereignty of the nations that are in the EU? The EU want to be one block, one voice, free movement of peoples. And the Irish nationalists need to realise that their actual identity in the EU is going to be diluted. And that goes for every other country that's in it as well. They want to have one block, one voice, no more sovereignty of countries, everything under one law, and Brussels will be controlling it all. Does Conor Murphy realise that? That's the long-term goal?
Glenn, thank you. Wayne, morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Martina Anderson, the Sinn Féin MEP, has just tweeted me a picture of her shaking hands with Michel Barnier. just in case anyone, she says, is wondering how Sinn Féin have influenced the negotiations on Brexit.
Well, Stephen, I don't think the deal is going to go through. I think you'll lose it by a couple of votes, and I think you'll end up being called an election. My only concern overall is I hope to God that the people of Northern Ireland will learn something from this. And I mean the unionist people and the nationalist people.
Learn what?
I think they got to learn, mate, is while we have DUP and Sinn Féin in power, there'll be no stability or peace in this country. Because
well,
all I hear...
There is peace in this country, of course. And Sinn Féin and the DUP were in power for many years and helped contribute to that peace.
Yeah, no, Stephen, hold on here. This is the funny bit here that I don't like about. So in the last 3 years, Stephen, and I've listened to all your programmes, I've listened to every show, and I've been to Stormont speaking to people. And this is the thing that gets up my go. And I voted for Sinn Féin for 20-odd years of my life. And this is the thing that gets me going. So we have to get a new breed of politicians. I was even watching your show the other night when that Jim Nicholson was on, and he was a hardline loyalist.
Jim Nicholson wasn't on the programme.
Whatever that gentleman was you were talking to who was a loyalist, the loyalist people.
Jim Wilson.
And my honest opinion is, he's right. We need to get these communities together. And I can tell you now, he's only after saying now that Sinn Féin Babs would get a border poll tomorrow. Why would he do
actually,
that?
Actually, he didn't. He said as soon as possible.
The country. Can we not all get together and try to work it out? The two main leaders who've been in power in government for 3 years, the main parties, and the DUP and Sinn Féin, have brought 1,000 days of misery. Is people not going to open their eyes and forget about flags and try to work together and whatever it'll be, will be?
Well, the bigger question here is where does Northern Irish politics go from here? Like, where does the DUP go from here? They've been done over by Boris Johnson. They certainly were making all odd signals that they felt they could trust him. They brought him to their party conference. They hailed him as clearly a man who they wanted to align themselves to. They were in and out of number 10, and he shafted them.
But sure, look, Stephen, everybody knows in the history of Northern Ireland, England, we only get the bread, we only get the food at their table that they don't want. It's always been like that. It's never changed them to throw us a couple of quid, like a couple of dogs in a pet store.
Now, again, there was a source within the last 24 hours, as recently as that within the DUP, telling me that it was the issue of consent. They could have sold every other issue within that deal. This was a single source telling me this, that they could have sold to the unionist community every other part of that Boris Johnson proposed deal except consent. The majority consent line is what has upset the DUP to the point where they cannot accept it, is what I've been told. Listen, you're interested big time in this whole Brexit issue. You have been for a number of years. The Nolan Show, quite a good barometer, actually, of stories that do interest you and don't interest you when we see the volume of calls that come into the programme. Wednesday night's Nolan Live television show, for example, last Wednesday night when we did Brexit for the majority of the programme, 46% of the whole viewing population watching television at that time tuned into Wednesday night. Nolan Live. It was the biggest show of the whole day across any channel in Northern Ireland. 180,000 of you watching that programme. That's how interested you are in Brexit. Pick up the phone this morning, 03030 80 55 55, and tell us what you think. This deal could go through tomorrow. Do you want to see it over the line? Do you support it? Whatever community you're from. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
This is a betrayal, but it's no surprise. Margaret Thatcher betrayed his Anglo-Irish agreement. Tony Blair on the run letters, and now this. The DUP should just hang their heads in shame. Even their friends in the ERG are going to vote for Northern Ireland to be different from the rest of the United Kingdom.
Well, we don't know how the ERG are going to vote yet. Peter Bottomley has told this programme he reckons that three quarters of the ERG will vote for the Prime Minister's deal.
And that would be the numbers that he needs to get this through. Even super unionists in the ERG are betraying Northern Ireland.
John, thank you. Stephen Farry from the Alliance Party. Morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
You know, what's so wrong with this deal? If Northern Ireland can now have the best of both worlds, if it can take advantage now of all of these big deals that the UK might make around the world, for example, a new huge trade deal with America, if it can also effortlessly trade with the EU, does this not position Northern Ireland as having the best of both worlds? And for once, we're out on top. What is there to resist here?
Well, Stephen, there may come a point where we do have to be pragmatic around this deal recognise that it is better.
I heard Nicola Sturgeon, interrupt Stephen. Yep. I heard Nicola Sturgeon say yesterday that Northern Ireland will now be at an advantage to Scotland. She's arguing that we're at an advantage. Why are we resisting, are people like you resisting this deal?
Well, I'm not resisting the deal. I mean, but I think we have other alternatives still, including stopping Brexit in its entirety, because part of it still has the option of putting the deal to a referendum. So that option does need to be exhausted first before we come down to a conclusive view on the deal in question. But the deal in question is better than a no deal. And it does give Northern Ireland certain advantages. I certainly acknowledge that.
Spell out the advantages as you see them.
Those advantages, Stephen, are not as good as being in the European Union. So this is still a net negative. But relative to Scotland, relative to elsewhere in GB, we are in a better place. It's not as good as the original version of the backstop, as well, as you clarify. But it does allow us to have that unfettered access to both the GB market and to the European Union.
So does that not mean, and Stephen, I'm not a business expert. I wish I had access to John Campbell this morning, actually. Yeah. But does that not mean that Northern Ireland is all of a sudden even more attractive to companies from around the world who are thinking, well, where will we set up? Will we set up in Scotland? Will we set up, I don't know, in London? Will we set up in Birmingham? Or will we set up in Belfast or somewhere else in Northern Ireland? They set up in Northern Ireland. They have uniquely got the best of both worlds.
Well, we published a paper 2 years ago called Bridges Not Borders, which spelled out this very concept. So, yes, is this something we buy into? But I stress again, Stephen, it's not as good as being in the European Union, because with this deal, we lose, for example, the free movement of labour. So a lot of people have moved to Northern Ireland to work in various industries, our social care sector, agri-food. So that there is going to be compromised. The deal doesn't cover, for example, services. That's a very important aspect of the all-island economy. It only really applies to goods and agri-food. But yes, we will be in a better position in Scotland, because we have that foot-in-both-camps approach that will allow us to have certain relative advantages compared to some of our neighbours. And in that respect, yes, that is an aspect that we should...
Is it a game-changer? Like, is it a huge game-changer for Northern Ireland?
Well, it's not going to be the game-changer.
Why not?
Because, well... It does help us, and it'll help us to survive. A few days ago, I described this being a lifeboat for Northern Ireland, but it's not as good as being part of the ship. But certainly we're better in the lifeboat than sort of out in the sea, fending for ourselves.
You mentioned a matter of moments ago, Stephen, the prospect of stopping Brexit. Yep. We're way past that now, are we not? How on earth could you stop Brexit?
Well, Parliament is meeting on Saturday. Now, there are options open to them. The Benn Act, in theory, stops a no deal as an option, and that still has to play out if Parliament...
And it asks for an extension?
They could well do. And then it's up to Parliament to determine how that extension is used. And certainly I still take the view that a people's vote, where Johnson's deal can be put alongside other options, is a viable way forward.
Okay, but let's play that out. Here's what's most likely to happen. What's most likely to happen in that scenario is that if Parliament votes down, and this is the conundrum that MPs will face on Saturday, if Parliament votes down Boris Johnson's deal, okay, and Boris Johnson is forced to ask for an extension, there will be a general election, most likely, and at that general election, Boris Johnson, if he wins, has got a majority to do whatever he wants.
And Stephen, that is a very credible scenario that you point out, and this is why MPs need to approach this in a very smart and careful way. The way to do this is not necessarily to vote the deal down, but vote for the deal subject to it being put to a referendum. So that's why people talk about this being a confirmatory vote. So it's not a case that the vote is that the deal is voted down. It's agreed in principle subject to that further referendum where the people themselves have a say.
Stephen, thank you. Tina McKenzie from the Federation of Small Business. Morning to you, Tina.
Morning, Stephen.
So that very point I was talking to Stephen Farry about, is this not all Christmases come home at once for the business community in Northern Ireland, that now all of a sudden we're a hub where we can effortlessly take advantage now of these exciting new deals that Boris Johnson says we'll be able to make with countries around the world, and we've got this no-hassle trade agreement now with the EU, unlike Scotland, Wales and England, to the point where Nicola Sturgeon is complaining about it?
Well, the Scottish businesses I know are already on, complaining that we'll have an advantage. Essentially, what they've given us is the ability to trade across Europe and across the rest of the United Kingdom tariff-free. That does give us an advantage. Unfortunately, with any sort of Brexit, we are going to have to do checks. The best place to do those checks is going to be in our ports, which, in fact, Stephen, means we're going to have to invest in the ports and have more jobs in Northern Ireland, which also can't be a bad thing.
So do you welcome this deal?
I cautiously welcome this deal. There's a lot more. I mean, 64 pages of legal text. There's a lot more detail to be ironed out. And maybe I heard you earlier talking about the VAT. Just to be really clear on the VAT, we are staying within the UK's VAT system. What the text actually says is that if there is a lower VAT charge, so for example on hospitality goods, it will be up to the United Kingdom to grant us the ability to drop to the same charge as ROI, just on goods. So we are still very much within the UK's VAT system, as we are within their customs union. It's just that, we'll have a partnership and special arrangements to allow us not to have the tariffs. So it's all about the language in this, I think.
And Tina, but if our VAT rate all of a sudden was different from the rest of the UK, and the regulations for goods will be different, and they'll actually, sometimes things in Northern Ireland, it is the symbol. Symbolism, as you know, is very, very important in Northern Ireland. There would be a new label created for goods. Those goods would have a UK bracket NI label, where the rest of the UK wouldn't. So the goods are being differentiated as well, right down to the very labelling. Can you understand how some people think we're marching towards a united Ireland?
Yes, well, I can understand people's fear, and I think it's not helped by the indecisiveness of MPs and the indecisiveness of MPs across the British Parliament. You know, we've been here for 3 years on off. The uncertainty is impacting businesses. What I would recommend is that we stop the rhetoric around, as we always do in this place, around is it good for nationals, must be bad for unionists, and vice versa. At the end of the day, we've products in Northern Ireland that have sometimes a label that says Irish milk, sometimes a label that says British milk, depending on the destination of where they're going. Businesses will be pragmatic. We don't need to feel our nationality through what label we put on a product. We just want this place to do well, and we want to do better for the citizens of this place. And don't forget, Stephen, you know, because you listen to it and you're talking to people all the time, we've got to get on with helping the people that with the highest poverty rates. The health service has got the longest waiting times in the whole of the UK. It's an absolute disgrace. It's time for us to get a deal done and move forward and put this place out.
And even for those people who aren't involved in politics, they are involved in the pound coins in their own pocket. Is this deal likely to make prices cheaper or more expensive for goods in Northern Ireland?
I think this deal is probably going to keep prices where they are in Northern Ireland, but I suspect what will happen is in the long term we will have more investment in Northern Ireland, higher skilled jobs, more money in people's pockets, and that's what's important.
Okay, so the Federation of Small Business backing this deal?
Cautiously, yes.
Okay, Tina McKenzie, thank you very much indeed.